Judy.
Hi, it's not on yet.
Okay.
Good morning.
Good
Hello,
morning.
good morning.
Good morning, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good morning. Good morning.
Please join me in saying the Anna Bakoah. Anna Bakoah, Yadula Chimin Ha, Satir, Serura, Alokat Gimel Yutak Sadi. The letters of the month of Tevet, the Bet that created the planet Shabtai, the planet Saturn, and the Ayin that created the constellation Gedi, which is the astrological sign of Capricorn. Together, the Ayin and the Bet have a gematria of 72, which we know connects us to the 72 names of God, the 72 names from the Tzaddikim, and the Sefirah of Chachma, which is wisdom. Kabel Rina Amcha Sagvenu Tacharenu Dora Kufre Shayan Sintetu Nagibor Dorshe Chudcha Kivavat Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalad Yud Kaf Shin Barchem Tacharem Rachamesit Katcha Tamid Gamlem Betet Resh Tzadi Taf Gimel Hasim Kadosh Biro Tuvcha Na'el Adata Het Kufet Tet Nunayan Yachid Gea Lamcha Pene Zokre Kedushata Yud Gimel Lamed Pe Zayim Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yo Dea Talumot Shin Kufav Tadiyutaf. We brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate the right column energy from the left column energy of this creation. We will utilize the 13 attributes of mercy for this purpose. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum Vechanun, Erech Apayim, Virav Chesed Ve'erbet, Notse Chesed La'alafim, Notse Avon Wafesha, Vechata'a Ve'nakei.
Jasmine.
We're now going to be reading a verse from the Zohar. This verse has the energy of certainty. It comes from Parashat Yitro, Pasuk 29, and we will start with L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kudsha barichu ishkin tebid hilu urchimu hilu hilu urchimu. L'yachka l'shem yudhe bavate b'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah, la'asok Torah mitzvah. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu koneinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu koneinu. Rabbi Abba Amar Dekama Atar Taneina Dekudsha Berichu Koma Deaved Leheila Witata Kola Ihu Kishot Yovada Dikshot Belait lach bila bialma divaye barnash ledach yaleya bideya ulam haga beya kalada tehakulu ovada tikshot inun vekola itsterich bialma. The energy of the year 5778 is bowing to Hashem in order to walk with Hashem. There are two verses that connect to this energy. The first that we study is 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 6. Vayishkav Mamnon vayichal vayavo hamelech liroto. Vayomer Amnon el hamelech tavo natamar achoti utlabev le'enei shetei levivot v'evre miyada. The second verse that connects to this energy of 5778 is Psalms chapter 32, verse 5. Concealed in this verse are the letters Tav Shin Ayin Chet, which is the name of the year, 5778. The letters of this name are separated by three letters each. Chatati Odiaha Va'avoni Lokisiti Amarti ode ale pishai ladonai yohe wahe viata nasata awon chatati sela. The energy of the year 5777, the year of the goat. There are also two verses that connect to this energy. The first that we study is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52. Kod saduni katzipor oyevai chinam. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to create Satzkiyach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the last letters of these words, we're able to form Dir Yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse, which is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8, that connects to this year of the goat. Concealed in this verse are the letters Tav Shin, Ayin, Zion. And we know that these letters spell the name of the year, 5777. And they're separated by seven letters each within this verse, which is its concealment. Ki Yim Ba Adonai Yo He Wahe Elohechem Tadebaku Kasher Asitem Ad Hayom Hazeh. The year 5776, known as the year of the pause, also has two verses that connect to its energy. The first that we study is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Rak ha-kohanim ha-yu limat v'lo yachlu lehavshit et kol ha-olot v'yehaskum Achechem halvim ad kilot hamlacha v'ad yitkadshu hakohanim ki halvim yishrei levav lehitkadesh mehakohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letters of these 25 words, we're able to permute them into eight names of God. Adonai Yohewahe, Lalahe, Wawawa, Yolayo, Alabe, Hey, 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 Aka'a, Rekaha. When we take the second verse that connects to this energy of the pause, it's Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bichu ba'adonai yohewahe ade'ad kiviyah yohe adonai yohewahe sur olam. The year 5775 has the energy of swallowing death forever. There are three verses that connect to this energy. The first that we study is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishe mimeni lo tarpeni abili ruki. Next we study 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru Udu be called Hamachavu Yam Asher Yitabe Sham Wishavtem Eli El Nahon Wehalakti Ethem Wehaya Im Yashno Barets Vihipasti O To be called Alfe Yehuda. The third verse is Job chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetzach yoved roav yom ruayo. The year 5774 has the energy of peace in the Middle East. There's only one verse that connects to this energy. It's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wesamti makom le'ami li'Yisrael untati v'shakan takta v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu v'nei avla la'anoto ka'asher barishona. We will now connect to the 72 names of God. We do this using this tool of speaking out loud the letter with their root vowels. Wahe wa yo la yo sa yo te a la be be he shi la la he a ka a ka he ta he za yo a la da la a wa he he a yo za la be be he he re yo he ko be la a wa ka la yo la wa wa pe he la du la ha yo 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 pe la he 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 wa du ta he he a yo re ta shi a he re yo yo a wa be la ka be wa shi re yo he wa la he he ka wa ko be du da a du yo he a be re he a yo yo za he 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 me yo ha wa wa la yo la he sa a la a re yo a shi la be yo he wa he wa da du yo he he shi a be me du du a du yo ta be be he pe wa yo du be be yo yo la he re he be ta re wa be be yo he he a du wa be he yo ta be be me du ko a yo a he be wa re a he yo be be he yo yo be wa be. There are three names in this chart that connect to this energy of this year, 5778. Name number 13, which is heaven on earth. Name number 14, which is farewell to arms. And name number 30, which is building bridges. All of these names connect to this energy of this year, and they're very significant in reducing conflict in the world, which will bring heaven down to earth. The 72 names from the Tzaddikim we do in the same manner. Wah, 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 yo, 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 sa, be, te, a, me, be, be, shi, la, yo, he, a, du, a, ka, be, ta. He he yo anu da le ha he wa he me ya yo ta la me re he he yo yo he me me la wa wa ka be yo la yo wa te nu la nu me ha yo he yo me nu he 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 wa. Nu yo he he shi ya yo re ta shi ya he re la yo a wa be la yo be wa he re yo yo wa la he he ka a ko be nu da a nu yo he wa be re he a yo he za he shi he me ka ha wa wa la yo yo he sa a la a re yo a la me ta he wa he wa ta la yo he yo shi a la me du he a du wa ta ba la me la he pe a yo du ko me yo re la he be he me za re wa he be yo a he a la wa be za yo ta he be me ka ko a la a he he wa re la wa he yo yo me he la yo me he me. In this chart, name number 30 connects to the energy of 5778. It also is the same location, the same letters, the same name both charts, and it emphasizes the use of building bridges, the use of trying to bring peace between individual people, trying to bring peace to between nations, which will occur when more people have lessened their conflicts within themselves and within people generally. The Sadikim who left this day, the 20th day of Tevet, there are two very important Sadikim who left this day. The first is the Rambam, Rabbeinu Moshe ben Maimon. The Rambam needs no introduction. He is an extremely famous sage through his book, The Guide to the Perplexed, which is a way of explaining Judaism in a logical framework. And the second very important sage who left this day is Rabbi Yaakov Abuchatzeria. And he is the grandson of the Abuchatzera family, which is a famous family from Morocco, but also in this last generation was the famous Sephardic sage Baba Tzali. All comes from this family. Very significant group. Rabbi Simcha Yisachar Dov of Chechechnov. Rabbi Israel Reich of Budapest. Rabbi Raphael Eliyahu Eliezer Mishkov. Rabbi Elimelech Izak.
And
as our practice, we will see the sages who left this evening and tomorrow, because we have no class in that. That's the 21st day of Tevet. It is both the birthday and the Hilulah of Shimon ben Yaakov Avinu, the progenitor of the tribe of Shimon. Rabbi Shlomo Rav of Vilna, Rabbi Eliezer El Mishkovsky, Rabbi Yisrael Dov of Vilednik, Rabbi Matzliach Mazus, the Ish Matzliach, Rabbi Isaiah Halevi Horowitz, and the eighth verse of the Ana Mekoach we say in a whisper. Today's class is hopefully concluding, but we'll see. The Sefer, the goodness of the land of Israel, the Tuv Haaretz. You can find this link on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. The last row, row 19, the right-hand column. That opens up to a landing page, and if you scroll to the last link on the page, it's class number 11, and it will open up to chapter 16. Of the 18 chapters. The title of the chapter is Kabbalah Prophecies Redemption, or prophesizes redemption. Does anyone have any questions? Kabbalah says those with Kabbalistic awareness will be spared the tumult of the Messianic era. Most of the following is based on the various writings of Rabbi Chaim Vital of blessed memory. And I am adding, we should question, what is the meaning of Kabbalistic awareness? Know that from the aspect of Atzilut, the Torah is explained in a fashion relative to the Sefirot that emanate from it. All concepts of the Torah and its commentaries are not from the level of Neshama, except for the secrets of the Zohar. And I am adding, if someone is able to understand the secrets of the Zohar, it means that their soul level is Neshama, which is not usual in people living outside of Israel. When the redemption comes, everyone remaining shall be completely pure and good. In the future, hopefully today, when the redemption comes, all the klipot will be voided, and the Jewish nation shall have been sorted out, the good extracted from the waste. Everyone remaining shall be completely pure and good, without any bad. Those that had diligently applied themselves with acts of loving kindness, performed with the intentions from the realm of the secret, most inner aspect of the Torah, as well as meticulously performing their prayers and other mitzvot, following the manner stemming from the level of secret aspects of the Torah, with purity and cleanliness, they, without doubt, when the secret of the Tree of Life, the aspect of the soul of Atzilut, burst through, will not need the tests of the end of days. The purpose of the test is for those that connect themselves to the simple, surfaced aspect of the Torah. This is because the purpose of the test is for those that connect themselves to the simple surface aspect of the Torah, which stems from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. This connection indicates that their souls emanate from the realms of Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya, where in those worlds applies the verse, "Its cycle shall travel the evildoers." They need to be tested for them to ultimately determine for themselves as to where they want to remain connected, whether to the good or to the evil. Yet those who stem from the Tree of Life, upon them it is written, and the intellectuals shall shine as the shining of the sky, which indicates that their souls emanate from the realm of Atzilut. Therefore, the tests of the final redemption will not be as heavy for them as for the people with inequities. Actually, this is an unwritten commentary. What this actually means is that it won't be as heavy for them because it won't be specifically impacting them. But if they don't feel the pain of the people who are being impacted by the tests, they will fall spiritually. This is my opinion. After after the final redemption, there will be a great revelation of the secrets of Torah that have been thus far hidden. After the final redemption, there will be a great revelation of the secrets of Torah that have been thus far hidden from all. This revelation will even be for those that didn't make efforts to understand Torah on its deeper mystical level called Sod. They will be privy to that revelation since they toiled to understand the simple levels of Torah. At that point in time, both groups will study the Torah and the Mishnah and the Halakha on the mystical level. That doesn't mean that, God forbid, the Torah and Jewish law as we understand them now will change. Rather, the intention behind them, as well as the environment in which we will fulfill them, will change. As in the desert with the Bar Mana, that form of sustenance had the ability to assume the flavor and characteristics of any food. Therefore, the laws of meat and milk weren't applicable to the generation of the desert. This was also true regarding the laws of prohibited fats and blood. The laws of slaughtering and inspection and others. In this fashion, the rest of the laws of what is forbidden or permissible were lessened out of practicality. The same went for some of the laws of impurity and purity. This is an unwritten commentary. What the author is saying here is that the halakha is corrupted. Out of necessity, it was modified. And the Torah tells us to follow the laws that are generated, the halakha that is generated by the leaders of the generation. But what has come down within the halakha today is tradition. And tradition is a corruption. Tradition says follow what the grandfather did, follow what the father did, follow what previous generations did. Instead of understanding the spiritual levels themselves. And this will change with the coming of Mashiach. This will change. And the halakha will be modified to reflect the actual spiritual laws, not the practical lowering that was described in this paragraph. I'm continuing to read. In that fashion, in the future, the children of Israel will derive sustenance from the manna, which is also rooted in the tree of life. Yet the ignoramuses will not share that type of existence. Rather, they will dine on bread and flesh, which is derived from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And for them, all the laws will be pertinent. I'm hearing some background noise. I'm not sure if there's a question or not. Many people who study Kabbalah are told that it is unnecessary to study Halakha. This paragraph teaches us that it is necessary, as well as the other eight levels of Torah, plus Halakha and the Zohar. All 10 levels of Torah needs to be studied. This is why included in our weekly Parasha webpage are included the Chok Yisrael study material, so that people may make that connection to all 10 levels of Torah every day. This will leave the people one choice: to trust in Hashem alone. Now I shall explain more. Know that the future redemption will be with the help of Hashem's relationship of the left side pushing away. In other words, the salvation shall be pushed off or extended for 6 months from Tishrei, which is the aspect of judgment implying the left side, until the month of Nisan, which represents the right side drawing in. Hence, the first Exodus started in this month, for during these 6 months there will be poverty, trials, tribulations, and purifications. As will be explained, the purpose of this period is to prepare everyone to merit the redemption. This will be accomplished through the trials and tribulations, as it is stated, "And I shall leave amongst you of the nation poverty and destitution, and you will yearn for and trust in Hashem." I am adding, from my personal experience, from the period of homelessness that I experienced, it taught me the most aspects of being able to see Hashem working within the physical aspects of our world and on our lives. And that's what the previous paragraph was telling us. Not to be afraid, but to be aware. Continuing to read. The benefit derived from this approach is that they would be redeemed through the secrets of strict Yevorah. Then Hashem forbid there would be a vast reduction in the population of the children of Israel. For from the side of strict judgment, there will be decimation via the enemies of the Jews, and those remaining will be held in high esteem. Yet this is not God's intention. Rather, his intention is that they all repent and merit the redemption. For if there is a reduction, Hashem forbid, that would result in a reduction of Hashem's honor, as well as in a diminishment of the supernal sources. For with the majority and the masses of the nation is the splendor of the king. For the sages tell us that the Shekhinah will not dwell upon a group of less than 600,000. Therefore, the world shall remain full till the time of the redemption. Without a reduction of that minimum measure of people, all those shall merit the redemption and will increase the glory and the honor of Hashem, as well as making abundant the supernal sources. I am adding, the 600,000 number refers to a minimum of souls, meaning male and female united together. No one knows how many individual human beings living today make up one soul. Rabbi Shimon is quoted in the Zohar as indicating that as at his lifetime, there were approximately 300,000 souls that had completed their tikkun. Continuing to read. Know that the redemption has two times. Firstly, in its set preordained time, literally its time, a time for laughter. That scenario will only be merited by those completely righteous. Only one from a city or two from a family. Yet there is another time when a pauper will be oppressed by his poverty. and will repent and merit redemption. That will be for the multitudes. This will come about through excruciating travails, the likes of which have yet to be seen. The people will feel that all they are is just their bare essential body, nothing more. That self-assessment can only be arrived at through ultimate destitution. This will be accompanied by immense suffering and abundant wailing, thus softening the hardened hearts. This will leave the people one choice, to trust in Hashem alone. This could only come about through a most intensive destitution. For even if someone suffers pain, yet they are comforted because they have food, or if they have no food, yet they have drink, or if they have no drink, yet they have some financial resources to put to some use, etc. Those situations are likened to, I shall be a source of comfort at your times of travail. Therefore, the suffering at the end of time must be all-encompassing, availing no consolation, wailing in poverty, no bread, no clothing, no comfort, no dwelling place, no house, no city, no garment in the cold. All that one will remain with is his body, nothing else. In the aspect captivity, death and slaughter, and Hashem exchanges for them death in poverty for life. Those that can't endure will try to return to the nations and assimilate. This is what is meant by the 45 days that the Jews will be exiled from Jerusalem to the Judean desert. Then they will seek refuge in caves and search for water and shrubs to survive. This will be similar to Lot and his daughters escaping Sodom to the nearby mountainous caves, for they hadn't even taken with themselves a small morsel of bread. Those remaining will be spread out throughout the desert. All the sufferings that the children of Israel had endured throughout the centuries won't compare to this experience. That will last until Moses, the Mashiach, reveals himself to them. He will cry with them as he came to cry with them by the banks of the rivers of Babylon during the beginnings of the first exile. They will then count 45 days in concurrence with the aspect of Moses being Ma, 45. All that they will eat there is bitter roots of the shrubs, for which they'll have to scavenge. In that situation, they will completely repent. Those that cannot endure will try to return to the nations and assimilate. They will be cutting themselves off. The rest will have to bear with the situation, each in accordance to that which is necessary to effect the cleansing of the effects of his transgressions. The righteous ones will eat these bitter, salty roots and will be blessed through them as if consuming manna. This will fortify their strength and their trust in Hashem. The mediocre ones will repent, and the evil ones will either be cast off or suffer a difficult penance. Yet the only function Moses will have is to cry with us. Through this time of crying, penance, and self-introspection, we'll be guided through the process of returning to Hashem, to doing repentance. After that stage, the deceased shall rise from the desert, and redemption and freedom shall sprout forth. Then we will proceed to Jerusalem, having been redeemed, and will witness the rebuilt city with the rebuilt temple, and the Shekhinah returning to dwell there within. Then they receive flags, as they did upon the Exodus from Egypt. Then God will grasp the corners of the world and shake off all the evildoers. All this will occur while the Jews will only be existing with just their bodies, with no other possessions. After that, they will be granted immense wealth. This will be as a result of the many treasures of the sea being spewed out of the ocean at Jaffa. They will also benefit from the spoils of the war of Gog and Magog. Yet none of this will give us any pleasure in comparison to the rebuilt Holy Temple. As it is written, this is the day Hashem has made. Let us rejoice and revel in him. I am adding. After reading these prophecies, all of which come from the book of prophets, do you think that we are close to the redemption? This section puts the prophecies in an order. Remember that negative prophecies do not have to manifest. It is very possible that we are witnessing some of the above descriptions in our modern world, as the pressures existing in Israel from the other nations of the world. This is especially true, in my opinion, in the idea that Israel depends on America instead of turning to Hashem. This is a test, as described above. Perhaps. That is the end of section 16, chapter 16. Does anyone have any questions? In Israel for the Messianic Age. This is chapter 17, part 1. Kabbalah praises those who dwell in Israel at the time of Mashiach. We have a tradition that when Mashiach arrives together with the Jews of the diaspora, there will be wondrous occurrences. The very day of their arrival, they will find 6,000 or 7,000 Jews who live in the Holy Land. On that very day, the resurrection of the dead will occur. That same day, the walls of Jerusalem will be replaced. It is also be the day of the rebuilding of the Holy Temple, which will be built from exquisite stones and gems. I am adding, how does this paragraph mesh with what is said in the previous section? Once those who were buried in Eretz Yisrael are resurrected, they will transform into new entities of the loftiest spiritual nature. Once those who were buried in Eretz Yisrael are resurrected, they will transform into new entities of the loftiest spiritual nature. The same transformation will happen to those 6,000 or 7,000 Jews who remained alive in Eretz Yisrael. Their bodies will resemble that of the first man's, of Adam's original body. Before the sin, a garment of light, as opposed to mere skin. Their bodies will be similar as well to the body of our master Moses, who was able to survive on Mount Sinai 3 times for 40 days, for 40-day periods, without food, drink, or sleep. This change will enable them all to float in midair and fly as eagles. This will be extremely astounding to the redeemed exiles. Upon witnessing this, the diaspora Jews will be worried, and they will complain to Mashiach, saying, are we not Jews just the same as they? From where do they merit to fly and to exist in an elevated spiritual state, while we don't? The Mashiach will respond to them the following. It is well known that all of God's ways work measure for measure. Those that lived in the diaspora yet made efforts and sacrifices to elevate themselves, to dwell in the Holy Land with intention of meriting a purity of soul, they were not so concerned with their finances and their health. They traveled over vast lands and they crossed seas, not paying attention to the possibilities of drowning, being robbed on the way, nor being taken captive by some strange foreign ruler. Being that they place priority of their spirit over their materialism and their physicality, they merit measure for measure to be elevated to this lofty spiritual stature. Yet you, whom have had the opportunities to go up to Israel as well, yet were hesitant and reluctant, being that you were enamored with your materialistic stature, you prioritized the material and left the spiritual pursuits as secondary. Therefore, you remain physical, measure for measure. Yet as far as your desire for wealth, God has taken care of that as well. He will grant you wealth beyond your wildest dreams. For soon all the treasures that were ever sunken will arrive. For all the seas have been sworn to produce these items at the shores of Jaffa. At that time, the shore will be filled with all the treasures from the beginning of time. Mashiach will then distribute it all to each righteous person according to his needs. That is what is meant in the verse, for the bounty of the seas shall be cleansed. Likewise, all the treasure buried in the earth shall be brought to Israel, as it is written, and the hidden treasures of the sand. This will be distributed as well. This will be their consolation for those who had prioritized materialism. Yet those who prioritize their neshama, they will be transformed into supernal beings and will be led to the earthly Garden of Eden. I am adding, this implies that the consciousness to be in Israel, while physically in the exile, is not considered as an option. Yet this may or may not be true. Resurrection in Israel, chapter 18, part 1. In Israel, resurrection of the dead will occur 40 years before the rest of the world. We have a tradition that the resurrection of the dead in Israel will precede the resurrection of the dead of the rest of the world by a span of 40 years. Nonetheless, anyone who had passed away and was buried outside of Israel and has merely one family member, the type of for whom one would have to sit Shiva, who resides in Israel at the time of the Mashiach, that Israeli relative has the power to revive all of his relatives who were buried abroad. This concept is founded upon the Talmud in Pesachim, which states, in the future, the righteous ones will resurrect the dead. The Talmud derives that from the verse, thus says God, yet have the elders of Jerusalem to return, each holding their walking sticks. And from I shall place my walking stick upon the land and resurrect him. The terms righteous and elders are associated with the resurrection. This hints to us the idea that all those that live in Israel are called righteous. This is also seen by the association in the verse. And your nation is completely righteous. They will forever inherit the land. Yet the main power of the ability to perform the resurrection lays in the hands of those who are called elders. The Torah scholars, as is implied by the verse, and you shall respect the faces of the elders. Upon that verse, the Talmud has explained that an elder is one who has acquired wisdom. And I am adding, there is much to contemplate in this book, especially the last three sections. This is the end of our classes on this subject. Does anyone have any questions at this time?
Hi, Hanoka, I have a question.
Go ahead.
Which is described as the body prior to the sin, which describes what his body was made of? And is it from the waist up?
You were breaking up, and the wind in the background was difficult to understand your question.
Okay, I'm going to go. Okay, the question is, hello?
I'm here.
Can you hear me? Can you describe Adam's body? Describe Adam's body prior to the sin. How was it made up? What energy or material or...
Well, Malco, you're breaking up. Can you close your window so that the wind in the background is lessened?
Yes, sir. My windows are closed. I'm driving.
Okay.
So, again, let me try again. Could you describe Adam's body? Could you describe Adam's body prior to the sin? What was his body made of? I know he was made of dust.
I'm able to understand her question, and then she can verbalize it, because I'm not really getting the question. It's
okay.
Breaking
okay.
up.
Okay, I will ask
the question on Wednesday. You're still breaking up. I'm not even sure. Can you ask it this coming Wednesday? Or send it to me by text now if you could pull over. Or, if you can call me or text me at another time, I'll be happy to try and answer the question. But I'm not understanding it, so it's something I can't respond to right now. Are there any other questions? Our class is this afternoon at 3 o'clock West Coast time. We will have a class in advanced reincarnation. Tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. West Coast time, we will continue our study of the Ta'anit Dibur, the study of the Psalms. Tomorrow afternoon, Monday afternoon at 4:30, will be a mini Zohar class, continuing our study of section 24 of the Parashah of Noach. And at 7 o'clock, we will continue our essays with Rabbi Ashlag. I wish shalom to each and every one of you. A beautiful day, Shavua Tov. Have a wonderful, wonderful day and time. It seems to be a very difficult level, a difficult month for people from what I'm hearing. A lot of accidents, a lot of falling. So please be careful. Please add to your spiritual work to help overcome this period. Shalom to all.
Shalom. Thank you.
Shalom. Thank you. Shalom to everyone.
Shalom to you. And to all.